State and Local Government Operations and Oversight Committee on Monday, February 8th, 2010. Our agenda today involves confirmation for members of the Minnesota State Arts Board, members of the Metropolitan Council, and a member of the Minnesota Racing Commission. I had announced to the members previously that if, because we do have this rule that we're kind of operating under the gun here about to get appointments to the floor, if someone is not able to be here today, we will send their appointment to the floor without recommendation, so that it gets there rather than just being automatically pulled out. And we understand that at least Commissioner Duncanson is stuck in traffic, so if she's not able to get here, that's how we will act on hers and for a couple of others as well, I think, from Met Council. And I think members understand that and so forth. So Ms. Schaefer-Pellinen has indicated that also that there are some people that really do have a time bind in terms of their schedule this afternoon, and so I'm going to let her direct us through these confirmations, and we will start with the Arts Board, Mr. Oliver, Ms. Schubert, and I understand Ms. Barsness is not going to be able to join us, so we will act separately on that particular nomination. I need a pencil. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Oliver, former Senator Oliver, and
Madam Chairman.
Honored colleague of many of us. We're really pleased to welcome you today. And then Ms. Schubert. Mr. Oliver, if you'd care to just give us a little bit about your background and your service on the Arts Board and make a few comments about its activities with regard to your participation.
Sure. Madam Chair and Senators, my name is Ed Oliver, and I used to be a part of this body from 1992 to 2002, so it's nice to be back and nice to see you all. My participation in the Arts Board, this is my seventh year, and so I have one more year to serve. It has been a wonderful board to serve on, and it got particularly good when the constitutional amendment got passed, because now we're well financed and we have a lot of need out there, and so we're going to be attacking that. So I guess I'm also serve as vice chairman. I have served in as secretary and treasurer, and I'm currently a vice chair.
Okay. Are there any comments or questions with regard to Mr. Oliver's service on the State Arts Board? Senator Olsen?
Madam Chair, Mr. Oliver, what is the particular thing that you would say was your most important contribution to the Arts Board?
Mr. Oliver?
Madam Chair, Senator Olsen, I would say my most important contribution is my business background. We artists get lumped into, or people who are in the arts get lumped into being sort of outgoing people. So I've been able to add, I think, a business flavor to the way we do business and the way that we think and the way that we plan. And I hope it's been constructive, and it certainly has worked fairly well.
Any further questions for Mr. Oliver? Each member has a copy of the appropriate motions to be made. I wonder if we have a motion. Senator Olsen?
Madam Chair, I'll make the motion.
Senator Betzel.
Senator Oliver actually came in with my class of 1992. Okay. There were 16 of us, and now with the impending purchase of Senator Dill and Senator Murphy, the only two that so far are left, going to be left, are myself and Senator Ellen Anderson. So I will move that the committee recommend the appointment of Ed Oliver to the State Arts Board be confirmed.
Senator Betzel moves that the committee recommend the appointment of Ed Oliver to the Arts, moves that the committee recommendation that the appointment of Ed Oliver to the State Arts Board be confirmed. Is there discussion? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to make a comment about this motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you,
Oliver.
Madam Chair.
And next we have Mary Beth Schubert of Inver Grove Heights, who was appointed to fulfill a four-year term that expires on January 3rd, 2011. Ms. Schubert, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, and maybe you respond ahead of time to Senator Olsen's question about either your major focus or your major, what you feel is your major contribution to the State Arts Board.
Thank you. Good afternoon. It's an opportunity. It's a opportunity to meet with all of you today. As mentioned, I represent the 2nd District in River Grove Heights, and on a personal note, I have always been a volunteer and an audience participant in the arts. I have been active with the Ordway, serving on their board. I've also been active with the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra and a few different organizations in town as well. As an employer, I work for Comcast. And we certainly recognize the economic impact of the arts throughout the state of Minnesota. We also acknowledge that we feel that we have a very creative and an innovative workforce, and I attribute some of that to the creativity that exists. We employ over 2,000 people locally, and we are always intrigued and oftentimes held as a model against our peers throughout the nation. For our creativity and innovation to dealing with different issues. So,
you have members. You have Ms. Schubert's resume in front of you. Anybody have a question or a comment about it?
Madam Chair,
Senator Olsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On your role on Kids for Saving Earth, do you know Tessa Hill?
Years ago,
Schubert.
Uh huh. Yes. Thank you. I'm sorry, Madam. Chair and Senator. Years ago, yes, I worked for Tessa and her husband. Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair.
Senator Olsen.
Don't take this too hardly, but is it just the nature of the business in public relations that, you know, it's like one-year gigs or something? Because I noticed your resume at the beginning there, you were changing jobs quite a bit. Is that just kind of the nature of the beast?
At the beginning
field?
Of time, I think that would be attributable. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry, and Senator. Yes, at the beginning of time, I think that's somewhat reflective of the field of communications and in public relations. A lot of experience comes from the nonprofit sector, and then I moved to a larger corporation, eventually Northwest Airlines, and now I'm with Comcast, and have usually worked in a public relations capacity.
Madam Chair?
Senator Olsen?
I would recommend that the committee approve the appointment.
Senator Olsen moves that the committee recommend the appointment of Mary Beth Schubert to the State Arts Board be confirmed. Is there further discussion of that motion? Is there anyone in the public that wishes to comment on it? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, members, thank you.
As I mentioned, Ms. Barsness is not able to be with us. You do have her resume, however, among your papers. And at this time, I would welcome a motion to send her appointment to the floor without recommendation. Okay. Senator Olsen.
I would make that motion.
Senator Olsen moves that the appointment of Brooke Barsness to the State Arts Board be reported to the Senate without recommendation. We will certainly be providing, however, the members of the Senate with information about Ms. Barsness, and it is not intended that motion is not intended to be anything other than a reflection that she could not be here today. Is there any comment or questions about either the process or Ms. Barsness that we could answer? Seeing none, anybody from the public wish to speak? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Mr. McGowan, with regard to the State Arts Board, is there a requirement about a reflection of party affiliation?
Madam Chair, there is not with the State Arts Board. There is with the Racing Commission that we're
just
about to
hear. Just for the record, to note that Mr. Oliver and Ms. Schubert list themselves as Republicans and Ms. Barsness as a Democrat. Then we'll move to confirmations of the Metropolitan Council. Who are we starting with? Then we'll start from the top. Mr. Pistilli, is he here? District 2. And you should have his resume in front of you, members. Mr. Pistilli is from Brooklyn Park, and his term expires January 3rd, 2011. Maybe you could, and we have your resume, but maybe you could tell us, because we don't know, except if we look on the description of the communities that you represent, and I would... you'll look at page 3, you will see that District 2 includes Brooklyn Center, Brooklyn Park, Robbinsdale, which is one of my communities, Osseo, Spring Lake Park, Columbia Heights, Fridley, and Hilltop. Mr. Pistilli, would you talk to us about your service on the Met Council and what you think is important and... your contribution. One of the things this committee cares about a lot is transit policy and how you feel like you have contributed to that.
Madam Chair, thank you, and members. It's been a pleasure serving over the past 7 years on the Metropolitan Council. I previously served on the City Council of Brooklyn Park, and I was very eager and anxious to be a part of the Metropolitan Council. It has been very rewarding. There's a tremendous amount of information to be absorbed, and I was very grateful that I was a part of the discussions, and it was also very pleasurable to meet a lot of the colleagues that serve on the Metropolitan Council. In particular, what I feel I contribute to the council is arriving at the meetings prepared to discuss the issues and contributing as I feel appropriate. Transit policy in particular, I don't serve on the transportation committee. So I don't probably couldn't speak as well versed as some of the other members.
Mr. Pistilli, how do you feel about Botno Boulevard? You ought to care about that.
I do have, Madam Chair, thank you. I do have an opinion on Botno. I think it's probably not time for that project as a region to be considered. I know that's contrary to what you believe, Madam Chair, but mm-hmm. It's extremely expensive, and I don't think the ridership is quite there, and that's shown in the CEI estimates currently?
Well, that estimate is now not the, as you know, due to the good work of, in my opinion, good work of Congressman Ellison, that is not the overriding consideration or the yes-no consideration. It's only one of, I think, six things. We probably are going to be going forward on a transit project for Botno Boulevard. We've been working on that for the last 5 years. The group that's working on it now with Hennepin County has decided to recommend that it be only approached as an LRT possibility in the future coming after the Southwest Corridor, which means we're talking 10, 15 years out. I am not, however, a single-issue politician council member, just to make that perfectly clear. Any questions for Mr. Pastilli? Any comments?
Madam Chair.
Senator Betzel.
Actually, Councilmember Pastilli does represent part of my area as well, too.
Good.
And I also used to represent part of the area that he lives in. So I will move that the committee recommend the appointment of Tony Pastilli as District 2 member of the Metropolitan Council be confirmed.
You've heard Senator Betzel moves that the committee recommend the appointment of Tony Pastilli, District 2 of the Metropolitan Council, be confirmed. Is there further discussion? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to comment on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Thank you very much, Mr. Pastilli, even though you are wrong.
But
next we have Mr. McFarland. Mr. McFarland is from Minnetonka, Minnesota, and is in the District 3 member of Commission, which includes Deep Haven, Eden Prairie, Excelsior, Greenwood, Hopkins, Long Lake, Minnetonka, Minnetonka Beach, Mount Orono, Shorewood, Spring Park, Tonka Bay, Wayzata, and Woodland. And I don't believe any member on the committee district includes your district. Is that correct?
That's my understanding. So.
Okay, Mr. McFarland. I know that you have a huge background in transportation policy. If you would like to talk to us a little bit about your work on the Met Council, and once again, from my point of view, I want to know how you have participated in the Met Council, and in particular, how you have dealt with the issues of transit policy. Mr. McFarland.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. My name is Bob McFarland. I'm a 24-year resident of Minnetonka, and I'm very proud to serve District 3 on the Metropolitan Council. I began my service on the Metropolitan Council in January of last year, so I've been on the council for a year. And the members of your committee may recall I was a replacement for Mary Hill Smith, who represented the district for many years. As many of you are aware, Madam Chair, I was with the Minnesota Department of Transportation for 13 years, serving in management, policy, and communications positions. I left MnDOT in July of 2008 after proudly serving as the acting commissioner of that agency. Not surprisingly then, I bring a very strong interest in transportation policy and investment issues to the Metropolitan Council. I currently serve as vice chair of the Transportation Committee. And I also serve on the Central Corridor LRT Management Committee and the Southwest LRT Public Advisory Committee. I've also worked with my communities in my district in support of the Highway 169 and Bren Road interchange and the Highway Interstate 494 and 169 interchange. I believe strongly.
It's going nowhere, right?
Well, I think it's coming along. It's coming along.
It's coming
along. I'm very optimistic.
You're very optimistic.
I believe strongly in the positive value of highway and transit investments, as well as in the need to be thorough, discerning, and cost-conscious in making the difficult decision on what types of investments to make. I would like to continue to represent my communities on the Metropolitan Council and be a voice for the value of transportation in our region, and I would appreciate the committee's support. Be happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Mr. McFarland. Are there questions or comments for Mr. McFarland, District 3? Anyone? Senator Carlson.
Yeah, Madam Chair and Mr. McFarland, I want to congratulate you and thank you, but I have to bring up one particular point of admiration for you, and that was a time when you were put on the spot and asked whether you would support roads or transit, and you gave a very good answer that it is not an either-or situation, and you further described exactly what your position was. And I thought that was a very good position, and so I wholeheartedly support your appointment.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator Carlson, would you like to make the motion then?
Yes. I move that the committee recommend the appointment of Mr. McFarland for appointment to the Met Council.
Senator Carlson moves that the committee recommend the appointment of Robert J. McFarland, Jr., of District 3 of the Metropolitan Council, be confirmed. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to make a comment? Any further questions from the members? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very
much,
Mr. McFarland. Then next we have Craig Peterson.
Madam
Mr.
Chair,
Shetnan.
Judge Shetnan, the Government Affairs Director for the Metropolitan Council. Councilmember Craig Peterson and Councilmember Polly Peterson-Bowles are not in attendance. He stopped by the office earlier today. We were concerned about a few members' availability, as well as Councilmember Richard Aguilar. I haven't seen him yet. He may show up before you get to District 13.
Okay, Mr. Shetnan, you know that Mr. Peterson and Ms. Bowles are not going to be here. Is that correct?
Yes, they were both trying to make it. There were a couple of issues that they were having, and we were concerned whether or not they would make it or not. But they may show up at the very end of the hearing. I have a feeling if that were to be the case, it would probably be just Councilmember Polly Bowles.
Okay, maybe we will
wait to the end.
We will wait until the end and then take up the I mean, we knew Ms. Barsness was not going to be here. At the end, we'll take up the appointments of people who have not made it, and if we're ready to adjourn, and then we'll make that motion of no recommendation.
That would be great. Thank you.
Okay. So if you'll put that aside, Mr. Peterson and Ms. Bowles, and next we have District 7, Ms. Meeks. Annette Meeks, it lives at 19 South 1st Street in Minneapolis, and her term also expires January 3rd, 2011. Ms. Meeks, if you'd like to talk to us about your district, and let's see, it is District 7 is North Minneapolis, Downtown Minneapolis, and South Central Minneapolis, and the talk about the contributions you feel you have made, and also, again, your thoughts on transportation and transit policy. Ms. Meeks.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Thank you for having us here today. You have kind of the transportation trifecta, the first three here. I'm currently serving as chairman of the Transportation Committee of the Metropolitan Council, and I think that's so appropriate living in downtown Minneapolis. I'm one of the urban pioneers that lives down there, 30,000 of us, but also 30,000 employees that come in every day to downtown Minneapolis, many of whom use some form of public transportation. As you mentioned, District 7 is downtown Minneapolis. It's also North Minneapolis, where we have one of the largest transit-dependent populations in the entire state, and which is also why I'm very interested in Botano Boulevard as well, and just had a conversation with Senator Higgins and Commissioner Stenglein last Thursday about getting together some sort of community meeting so we can start having a more open process as we move forward with some of the ideas. Also, if you want to really know what my district looks like, I mirror the Hiawatha Transportation Line and was honored when I first came on board the council to serve on the Hiawatha Management Committee. And while this council didn't plan the Hiawatha, we did finish building and officially opening under budget and on time. And that's been something we've been very proud of and continue to manage arguably one of the most successful light rail lines in the country, and certainly one that has exceeded our expectations. Since that time, we've also opened up the region's first heavy rail line, which was the North Star Commuter Rail line that opened last November up to Big Lake, and continue to work with that. Actually, we have a Transportation Committee meeting in a few minutes where we'll get our first official ridership report for the first quarter of that. But most importantly, and I also serve on the Community Development Committee. I was vice chair of that till I became chairman of the Transportation Committee. I think the most important contribution, Madam Chair, that I bring to the council is a unique insight, serving 7 years on the Transportation Committee, into making sure we leave our region's transit in better shape then we got it. It was not in bad shape, but we had pretty aggressive development plans when we took over as the council in 2003. And so much of what we do is building upon the success and, frankly, building upon the stability that we have in our region. Last year, members, there was just an article in the Star Tribune this weekend, that ridership was down last year, and it was. We know that after having the largest ridership increase in 30 years. We do know that we have a product that people are interested in, and they're very excited when we build new park and rides. They fill up almost instantly. We just have to worry about the jobs that are preventing more people from hopping on board, frankly. We believe that's part of the reason why our ridership dipped so much. And we have several big challenges that lie ahead. And most importantly, we've talked a little bit about Botno Boulevard. We also have the Southwest Corridor as we work on that one, and certainly the Central Corridor, which has its own unique set of challenges. With that, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Ms. Meeks, you opposed unicameral?
I did indeed, yes.
As I said, I'm not a single issue politician. And how was your reunion?
I beg your pardon?
I met Ms. Meeks at the airport a couple of weeks ago, and she was on her way to Florida with 10 alumni members of her sorority from the University of Minnesota for a reunion, which I thought was how many years, if you don't mind?
30 years.
30-year reunion. I thought that
was
really...
We all still talk to one another.
Yeah, and they still talk to one another. I thought that was very interesting. Are there questions about Ms. Meeks's resume and or comments about it? Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Councilmember Meeks. I appreciate your service as the, is it called, you're the chair of the Transportation Committee of the Met Council?
Ms. Meeks?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
And I appreciate your interest in the development of transit, and you did mention the Central Corridor, but I'm wondering if you could also talk about the East Metro region of the Metropolitan Council's area, and I'm sure you do have a commitment to seeing the transit projects developed in the East Metro as well. So since you did mention a lot of projects in the West Metro, I just want to hear a little bit more about your commitment to the East Metro.
Ms. Meeks?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Sieben, we do have a kind of a structural imbalance, if you will, that we're quite acutely aware of. We've spent a little bit of time in the last year focusing on some of the park and rides that we've opened in Woodbury and some of those areas and restructuring, frankly, some of the bus routes. But it certainly is something that we're all keenly aware of and are always looking for opportunities because there's a lot of underserved populations out there. We learned that with the Forest Lake route. That it, literally, if you build it, they will come. And that was only built as a result of the unfortunate collapse of the 35W bridge. But we have a very active ridership there. And we also got a couple new communities into the transit taxing district because of the service. So I think we just have to continue to look for those opportunities, especially out in Woodbury, which, you know, as you well know, is one of the fastest growing suburbs in the region. And it's yet an underserved transit population. And we've actually done some creative park and rides out there. It's building that permanent service and establishing, I guess, a more loyal and regular ridership. There remains a challenge.
Madam Chair and
Senator Sieben.
Councilmember Meeks, thank you for those comments. I'd also encourage you just to keep in mind the Red Rock Corridor, too, which is the Southeast Metro and also has some significant needs in terms of new transit service.
Are there further questions or comments from Ms. Meeks? Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Meeks, I represent a number of opt-out communities, and they actually have been doing quite well, but they have just recently been asked and are contributing money toward the operating shortfall for the transit services metro-wide. And I'm a little concerned about what might be happening next as Met Council gets in money for other projects or for capital, buses, whatever, if how supportive is the Met Council of allowing that to go out in a proper proportion back out to the opt-outs.
Ms. Meeks?
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's a very good question. That one that we have struggled with quite a bit as we deal with our structural shortfall that was quite significant, as you'll remember, last year. And I think what we thought was the best solution then was kind of the we're all in this together as a transit community. And we felt that it was important that not only the opt-out communities, but also Metro Transit as a system, that we all share in the solution. And part of that solution, I know, was not too popular with some of the opt-out communities. However, it did save service, and frankly, we felt during a recession it would be very difficult for us to have a fare increase. A significant fare increase we knew would hurt ridership even more, and with unemployment as it was, we knew we were going to take a pretty decent hit in ridership, and that was what we wanted to avoid. We want to keep those passengers once we get them and continue to provide them with good, affordable service. And so we thought maybe some of those cash reserves would help tide us over. And as we get additional funds or sources of funding, certainly we don't want to put any of the opt-out communities in particular in a precarious financial situation. Many of them have been very good with their budgeting, very frugal with how they spend their precious resources. And I think this was hopefully a one-time problem or solution to a one-time problem.
Madam Chair.
Senator Roebling?
And I think they understand that, but they are concerned about future dollars coming in, too, and whether or not they'll get kind of a fair appropriation when those become available, whether they're from federal stimulus dollars or from the dedicated transit dollars from the sales tax on motor vehicles. They just want to make sure they're not left out of the loop. And quite frankly, you know, they were there to provide services long before the Metro Council was willing to step into those communities, and they're doing some good work. I mean, they have their park and rides quite full. I see those buses all over, and there's a lot of people riding on them, especially on days like today. And I wish one came closer to my house because that would help me out a lot. But, we just want to make sure that they're not omitted when it comes to giving the funds out, too.
Ms. Meeks?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Comment?
I think that would be an important conversation for us to have as we move, if there is a second stimulus bill, for example, coming from Washington, if there is additional funds that are necessary this year, that's a conversation we should be having with you and with the opt-outs and others to make sure that there is not only a consistency but also a buy-in from all of the different sources that this is a correct solution as we move forward.
Thank you. We'll look forward to that.
Senator Olsen?
Madam Chair, I represent, with my constituents, I think about 90% of them are outside the metropolitan area, and if you talk about the Met Council coming into the area, they'll just as soon run you up the flagpole. And I'm just curious, do you see any time when the Met Council might expand its boundaries, in your opinion?
Ms. Meeks?
If I can take off my official transportation hat for a second, I actually think that we should offer communities like we did with Forest Lake and others. A lot of the Forest Lake line that we were talking about actually has riders that come from Isani County. We have 100,000 people right outside of the seven-county metro area every day that commute into the seven-county metro area, 100,000 people. That's a lot of people clogging our highways. And if we could get, and we know because we do an annual survey of the park-and-ride lots, that a lot of those park-and-ride lots are people who do drive in from outside of the transit taxing district and outside of the seven-county metro area to use Metro Transit. So we do know there is a need for it. Frankly, it's whether or not we can get a buy-in from those communities. We had an excellent foray into our first community, which is Big Lake and Sherburne County, that was very anxious to work with us on the North Star Corridor, and they were very, very anxious to work with us, be part of the transit district, and contribute part of the operating costs. So I think if we do it in more of a friendly way, rather than we're from the Met Council and we're here to tell you what you need to do, But we're here from the Met Council, and if you'd like to buy into some of our services, we'd be happy to talk to you. I think some communities would be interested, and I think that ultimately, you know, that's for the legislature to decide someday down the road, but it would be a wise conversation as fast as the region is growing. We certainly are not a seven-county metro area any longer.
Senator Olsen, some of us feel a little bit more sympathetic to the editorial position of the Star Tribune with regard to, before we get to you, we need to do a whole lot more infill with regard to economic development along the existing transit lines. So for a while, my opinion, you're safe.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Anyone else have a question or a comment for Ms. Meeks? Do we have a motion? Senator Gerlach?
Madam Chair, I move the committee recommend the appointment of Annette Meeks be confirmed.
Senator Gerlach moves that the committee recommend the appointment of Annette Meeks as a District 7 member of the Metropolitan Council be confirmed. Is there further discussion? Is there anyone from the public that wishes to comment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. Thank you very much, Ms. Meeks. Next, we have Lynette Witzak. Ms. Witzak represents District 8 of the Metropolitan Council, and it is the eastern portion of Minneapolis and the in the city of St. Anthony. Is that where the state of the region speech was?
Yes, it was at Silverwood.
Oh, that's such a beautiful, beautiful setting. I don't know if any of you have ever been to Silverwood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Silverwood Park. It is the, speaking of transit, it is the only park that is on a bus line. And so the availability for transit-dependent people to get to one of the regional parks, that's a very, very nice amenity. Ms. Witzak, would you speak to us about your experience and what you have contributed to the activities of the Met Council?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'd like to say thank you for attending the State of the Region. It was nice to have seen you there.
Yes, it was a very nice event.
Just in the spirit of transparency, just in case anyone has any objections, I am married to Hennepin County Commissioner Mark Stengline. It's been my pleasure and honor to have served on the Metropolitan Council for the past 7 years. I currently serve as chair of the audit committee, vice chair of the management committee, and I also serve on the environmental services committee. For the past 7 years, I think we in government have struggled to make sure that our budgets are balanced, and I think we've done a very good job of that, trying to make sure that we've kept our property taxes in check. We've expanded our regional parks and trail system, and I think that's a definite feather in our cap, because as we take our regional surveys, we find out time and time again that that's really what draws people here, and that's what keeps people here, and that's why people will live here despite the weather we have outside today. But I think, and we haven't touched on this at all, but within environmental services, I think probably the thing that I am proudest of in having served for 7 years is that we are now completing 36 months of absolutely perfect 100% compliance with all of our federal and state regulations for air emissions and water emissions in our environmental services department. And I think that is a real testament to the hardworking staff that we have at the Met Council and the true dedication that we have to making sure that the water that leaves our system is cleaner than the water that comes into our system. And it's truly a jewel that we have, and it's under-recognized. And I wanted to make sure that you were all aware of this.
Okay, are there questions for Ms. Witzak? Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Whitson, I noticed in your letter or in the biography that you indicate that you're pleased that you feel that there's a leaner organization since you've been on the board. And I also noticed that there's over 3,000 employees of the Met Council, which is a lot. And certainly. I'm wondering if that number has shrunk any during the time that you've been on the council. And if not, if it's possible with the budget constraints that we're facing, that would be something that you would look at.
Ms. Witzak?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator, over the past several years, through attrition, we have pared down our number of employees. It's still at about 3,000. The majority of those work in our transit department as bus drivers, cleaners, mechanics in that area. And the environmental services area, we've pared that down because of technological advances, and we're able to do a lot of other different things with fewer employees. One of the things or the problems that we're facing now in the future is that as our older staff is retiring, we're finding it difficult to find people that want to work in wastewater. It's not a sexy, glamorous industry. And, we're trying to get into some of the, like the Dunwoody Technical Institute and some of the other outlying colleges to try to encourage younger employees to consider work at the Metropolitan Council. And it will be a challenge because I think, and I don't quote me on this, but I believe the average age of an employee at the Met Council is about 45 years old. And that's on the older side, especially when you look at trying to develop an organization and try to retain that institutional memory of how different things work and why we've done things the way we have over the past several years.
Madam Chair.
Senator Roebling.
And I understand you need operators for these systems. There's no doubt about that. But as budgets get tighter, do you think that there could be any positions, and you said you did some of this already. Is there a possibility that more could be done to reduce the staff size?
Well, there is a hiring freeze, and any position that is approved has to get pre-approval from the governor's office, I believe. At this point, it's hard to say. We're still waiting to see, where the pieces fall with this next budget, because it's until we know what our budget's actually going to be, it's hard to know where we stand. We still want to make sure that the Metropolitan Council is an attractive place for people to want to come and work, because it's a fabulous organization and the staff is very hardworking. But again, if there's not the dollars to support the staff size, we will have to look at reducing that. In the past several years, I know we have reduced some of those and tried to combine different functions to see where we can really get the economies of scale and to get various departments operating more efficiently.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, I come from one of the fastest growing parts of the metropolitan area, and I notice you have a projection here that 3.6 million people will live in the metro area by 2030, and I'm wondering if that has already been downgraded because of what's happened with the housing market, or if it's something that we need to look at, that possibly we won't achieve that population by then. And if that is the case, does the Metropolitan Council plan to change any of its infrastructure development to reduce some of that in order to reflect the possibly smaller population that might be coming?
Ms. Whitside?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator, at the State of the Region, Chair Bell had mentioned that we may not achieve those numbers. A lot of it depends upon the duration of this recession and when people will begin moving into the region again. So at this point, I don't know how far we've backed those numbers off, but we eventually will reach those numbers. In terms of the infrastructure, as a result, I would say that we're looking at some of the outlying areas that we're slated to get wastewater services that we will maybe delay 3 to 5 years, maybe 10 years. Again, we're going to be meeting at the Environmental Services Committee tomorrow just to look at how we change our CIP to reflect the downturn in the economy. Clearly you don't want to build a wastewater system for people who aren't there. You don't build it and then they come. It works a little bit differently. So, yes, we will be making adjustments to that. And we'll probably ramp back with plans then to ramp that back up once the economy strengthens.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Senator Olsen?
Madam Chair, do you see plans to utilize wastewater for different uses in the future?
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, I'm sorry, Madam.
It's okay. Ms. Whitzag.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, we are already looking at using algae, which is something that we deal with every day at our wastewater treatment plants, and converting that into a biodiesel fuel, being able to use that. Whether or not it's actually going to be turned into gasoline, I couldn't say for sure. I'm not a scientist. But I think we really need to take a look at not only what goes into our wastewater system, but what we can get out of it or what we need to take out of it and what we can do with that. Currently, at several of our wastewater treatment plants, we take the sludge, the solids that you would just normally look at and not know what to do with it. We dry it and pelletize it, and we spread that on farm fields. And it's a wonderful fertilizer, much like composting. You know, we also, I think, have to take a look, too, not only, you know, as we clean based on what environmental standards we have to meet, some of what we can't clean out are the prescription drugs. We don't know what's actually coming into our system because we don't know what's in Prozac or, you know, Advil or whatever the prescription drugs are. And when I was growing up, we were always taught that you dump your unused medicine in the toilet and flush it down. Well, that couldn't be a worse place to put it because then you're expecting that we clean it out. And we've got to figure out from a community standpoint how we pull out some of the unnecessary things that we take for granted and we dump it into our wastewater stream. You know, we did it with motor oil where we no longer dump that in the ground or figure out where we dump it. You know, we take that to sites. And I think we're going to have to look at doing that possibly with other things.
Okay, any further questions for Ms. Whitzack? We have a motion regarding her appointment.
Chair.
Oh, Senator Rolstein.
I would recommend with approval.
Senator Rolstein moves that the committee recommend the appointment of Lynette Whitzack as District 8 member of the Metropolitan Council be confirmed. All those is there any comment from the public? All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much, Ms. Whitzack.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Natalie Hans Steffen, District 9. Ms. Steffen lives in Ramsey in Anoka County, and your district includes the communities of Anoka, Coon Rapids, and 9 other communities in northern Anoka County. Welcome to the committee. If you, again, would speak to us about yourself and your involvement with the Met Council and et cetera.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do represent District 9, and I am beginning my 12th year on the council. Obviously, you have to like a job to keep it that long, and I do like this one. I serve on the Community Development Committee. I chair it, and we are about 85-90% through our comprehensive plans. I'm proud of that accomplishment. The first comp plans we did, city comp plans we did when I was down there, took years, and we are now about 2 years into the process, and most of them are finished. Earlier, I also serve on the Transportation Committee, and earlier, Madam Chair, you asked about a person's interest in transit and transportation, mm-hmm. and prior to coming down to the Met Council, I served time on the Anoka County Board of Commissioners and was the chair of the committee that birthed the Traveler, which is the bus service that services a good bit of Anoka County. I have supported the transit that we have done since I was a member of the Met Council and was a longtime supporter of North Star. And if you've been reading the paper, you know that my fair city of Ramsey does not have a stop, and I'm working very hard to make sure that it gets one. I've also supported the looking at our transit and the way we provide rides in areas that do not have regular bus service. And we have looked at duplicating, whether or not we duplicate services. And currently, given where I live, I would have to drive about 7 miles to get a ride on some type of public transportation. But we have changed our dial-a-ride system, so at least in case of doctor's appointments or some type of more emergent service, I can probably call the county and get a ride if I did not have a car or was not able to transport myself. I think that that's probably about enough.
Are there questions for Ms. Haas-Steffen? Senator Betzel?
Madam Chair, I've known Commissioner Haas-Steffen over the years. She's been, I think, on the Met Council about as long as I've been in Minnesota Senate, and I've seen her quite many Anoka County functions, and it's always a pleasure to see her. I wouldn't quite call it being serving time on the Anoka County Board, but maybe that's a close way to describe it. But I would move that the committee recommend the appointment of Natalie Haas-Steffen be confirmed as District 9 member of the Metropolitan Council.
Senator Betzel moves that the committee recommend the appointment of Natalie Haas-Steffen as District 9 member of the Metropolitan Council be confirmed. Is there further discussion? Is there any comment from the public? Seeing none, all those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much, Council Member. Our next one is Georgianne Hilker, who resides in White Bear Lake, and she represents District 11 on the Metropolitan Council. And those communities are Gem Lake, Little Canada, Maplewood, North St. Paul, Venice Heights, White Bear Lake, White Bear Township in Ramsey County, Hugo, Landfall, and Oakdale in Washington County. Welcome to the committee. Once again, I think you kind of know the drill. If you talk to us a little bit about your work on the Met Council, and again, we are interested in the transportation issues in particular, although you've heard other issues brought up, and I see that you serve on the Transportation Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My district also includes three cities in Anoka County, Centerville, Columbus, and Lionel Lakes.
It doesn't say that on your thing, does it? Where is it? Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Yes, of course.
So I have the pleasure of serving parts of three counties, which has been very interesting. I was appointed in September of 2003. My district became available as a result of redistricting. And I am a 23-year resident of White Bear Lake and have been honored to represent this district for the last 7 years. The District 11, as you can see, it runs from fully developed in the south, which is southern Maplewood, which touches on Highway Interstate 94, all the way to the north in Columbus. And it, which is just developing. So it's a very interesting community. The Rushland Corridor runs almost the entire length of my district and is of significant interest to most of the communities that I serve. I am a member of the I-35 West-East Coalition, which is a group of cities around 35E and 35W, and working together to address the transportation needs that they have, and I serve on the Transportation and Community Development Committees. I also represent the Council, along with Councilmember Lepic, on the Metropolitan Energy Policy Coalition, which deals with energy policy in all of the counties. I look forward to continuing my work in this last 11 months, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
If there are questions or comments for Council Member Hilker. Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Hilker, when you said you deal with energy policy in all the counties, what kind of policy direction does the Met Council give them? Or I'm trying to figure out the focus.
Councilmember Hilker?
Madam Chair, Senator Roebling, the Metropolitan Energy Policy Coalition is actually made up of representatives from many of the counties. I think it's all of the counties. Metropolitan Council is just a member of that. And so I maybe misstated that. We don't really develop energy policy, but we are members of the policy coalition.
Madam Chair.
Senator Roebling?
And I don't know much about this group at all. So are they trying to find ways to reduce energy consumption or to find more efficient ways to operate, or what is their goal?
Ms. Hilker?
I think the goal is just to understand what energy and energy conservation, maybe some renewable energy, might mean for their counties and what opportunities there might be. I'm fairly new to the group. I think I may have been appointed last year. And I don't know what else I can say about that.
Okay. Well, Madam Chair, I was just wondering, you know, like if they had any shared policies about locating wind turbines or something like that. I know that some of the counties have been looking at that, and there's support for locating them, and there's opposition to locating them. And I just was wondering if your group was kind of an overview group for counties as they worked on those issues or something, because you do land development as well.
Are there further questions or comments for Ms. Hilker? Seeing none, is there a motion regarding her appointment?
Madam Chair.
Senator Roebling?
I move that the committee recommend the appointment of George Ann Hilker, that she be confirmed.
Senator Roebling moves that the committee recommend the appointment of George Ann Hilker, District 11 member of Metropolitan Council, be confirmed. Is there any further discussion by the committee? Any comment from the public? Seeing none, all who may be in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much, Council Member. Sherry Broker, Council Member Sherry Broker from District 12. Ms. Broker resides in Forest Lake. And her, I don't have her communities, so that I know of.
I want you to read them all.
If you will tell us what they are, Ms. Broker.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here. And I do serve District 12, Washington County. It's Forest Lake all the way down to Cottage Grove to the south and the St. Croix River. I represent 28 cities and townships within that area.
You don't need to list them all.
No, I know. I wasn't going to, but I thought 28 gave you an idea. And currently serve on three committees. I serve on the Audit Committee, the Management Committee, and the Community Development Committee. It really is kind of an interesting different committees that I serve on. Certainly, we've worked on the development of the framework, the HRAs, livable communities, and the regional parks with the community development. I enjoy working on the Met Council, and currently I've been on there for 2.5 years. I served on City Council for 8 years, a Planning Commission for 4, and I recognize many of you because I served at the State Legislature for 6 years. I feel that I represent my district well. I make sure that I go to council meetings and meet with the administrations, and certainly send out letters and newsletters to let people know what we are doing at the Met Council. We also have the State of Region address where we meet and discuss issues, and certainly saw you, Senator, there. I did send out informational letters.
Senator Carlson also attended he's not present right now, but he also attended the State of the Region. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see him there, so I have to ask him. I think what's important is for us as members here to keep our its constituents informed. I think it's we need to communicate and respect our local officials. And I feel I'm a good listener, and I know how to take care of local control issues and deal with that. See, the concerns that I do have is I know Senator Sieben, you had talked about the Red Rock issue, and I know I've just met with Washington County and Myra Peterson to go over that issue, and I agree with you. That is an important issue, and I will be working with you guys on that because I know it goes from Hastings all the way up, so we will be looking into that a little more. And I know I see my friend here, Phil Schreiber. Okay. We've been working with their group to address some of the issues for Woodbury, Maplewood, and what was the other one, Bill? There's three of them. Woodbury, Maplewood, and Shoreview. Okay. Well, we had a meeting with them last week, and there is a lot of fiscal disparity issues that were on that. And so we are going to be putting together a meeting with the Met Council to discuss some of those issues with those cities. And so with that, I will certainly open it for discussion if anybody has any questions.
Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Member Breicher. If you could just, could you explain more what you met with Mr. Schreiber about regarding the Red Rock, or excuse me, the
Core
Commission? And
he is on the MLC, which he serves on the Municipal Legislative Commission. And we had a meeting with Maplewood, Shoreview, and Woodbury. And so we had talked as a group. I know Chuck Wigger was there. And they had some fiscal disparity issues that they'd like to meet with the Met Council on.
Okay.
So that was
Municipal Legislative Commission, just generally characterized as those suburban communities that don't receive any LGA.
Okay. Well,
third, fourth tier suburbs.
Growing group.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I am pleased to hear that you're willing to help us with the development of the Red Rock Corridor, because we just had a press conference actually this morning, and although the Red Rock Corridor has been included in the list of the Metropolitan Council's projects to fund in the last legislative bonding bill, it didn't ultimately get any money from the Metropolitan Council. So I'm counting on your advocacy for
that. Got that whole east side that really needs to be looked at, and I'm willing to do that.
But
any further questions for Ms. Broeker? Senator Olsen?
Madam Chair, I'm interested in, there was some discussion earlier about the 218 line going from Forest Lake.
Mm-hmm.
That really does seem like it's been very successful.
It has.
And as I do represent the counties to the north of there, and it'd be interesting if some kind of a suburban or some kind of agreement could be worked out where, because there's bus services, the Anoka Traveler was mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Heartland Express. If
mm-hmm.
something like that couldn't be worked out where they could go into the Met service area and residents from my area could hop that bus to the cities.
Yep.
And
I agree with that. And we thought about that when we were dealing with the 218. So we will look into that.
Appreciate that.
Any other questions for Council Member Broeker? If not, is there a motion regarding her appointment?
Sure.
Senator Olsen?
I move approval.
Senator Olsen moves that the committee recommend the appointment of Sherry Broeker, council member District 12, to the Metropolitan Council be confirmed. Further discussion, anyone in the public wish to comment? Seeing none, all in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair and members.
We have three more of people that I know that are present. Our general time is to end on time at 5:30, even though we started late. So let's keep that in mind as we proceed here. Kirsten Beach resides in St. Paul, Minnesota, and she is the appointee to District 14. And is it all of St. Paul, Ms. Beach?
Yes, Madam Chair, it is all of St. Paul.
It's all of St. Paul. Okay, if you want to tell us a little bit more about yourself and your work on the Metropolitan Council and the things that you've been involved in.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm Kirsten Sersland Beach. I was appointed in June of 2007, and I currently serve on the Environment Committee, and I also serve on the Transportation Committee. Shortly after being appointed, I was also asked to chair the Community Advisory Committee for the Central Corridor Light Rail Line, and its 35 citizen group stakeholders along the corridor comprise this committee. We meet once a month and talk about the livability issues of the community as we build this line. Some of the things that go more under the radar as we talk about Central Corridor are the things that we're doing in the Environment Committee that I'm quite proud of that have been a part of. And one of them is over the years we've developed and implemented a plan to reduce the amount of clear water that enters the regional wastewater system through inflow and infiltration. It's a new concept that was developed by the council, and when we have clear water that enters the sewer system, it consumes sewer capacity that's needed to accommodate growth in the region. So by reducing the amount of inflow and infiltration, we've actually saved a lot of money in wastewater treatment charges. So I'm pretty proud of that. Also, I'm also pretty proud of the council's. We've been able to keep the property tax levy flat for six successive years, and we've maintained our AAA bond rating. So I'm quite happy with our financial and fiscal responsibility. Central Corridor, I'm sure you're all up on that. That's also most of that runs through my district. I was also glad that we were able to add the three infill stations. That was one of the things that was high on my priority list, also high on my community advisory committee's list, and things seem to be progressing nicely. So with that.
Okay, are there questions for Council Member Beach? Senator Rolstein.
Madam Chair, I'm fascinated by the name of this business, Beach Expeditions. What kind of adventures do you do on that?
What are you looking at, Senator Rolstein? Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Senator Olsen. That is my husband is a rep for an apparel company, so it's our LLC that we run the apparel business through, and I worked on that with him for many years.
A follow-up, Madam Chair. I thought you said you were going to go skiing or something, but I am curious when you talk about clear water infiltration. I think that's a big problem in all of Minnesota with sewer systems aging and groundwater and surface water entering the systems. But what kind of processes are you guys using to address that?
Ms. Beach?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Olsen. We've removed the drains from homes that go directly into the sewer systems. That's when we've got grant programs to help communities and to help individuals actually remove those drains. That's been the biggest source.
Senator Roebling?
Madam Chair. Ms. Peach, you mentioned that you get advice from your community advisory councils. Now, are those something that you've set up yourself, or are there already neighborhood councils that you seek input from, or what are the community advisory councils?
Ms. Peach?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Roebling. This is the Community Advisory Committee. It originally started as an FTA mandate that we seek input from community groups as we build the Central Corridor Light Rail. The members of this group are district council leaders. They are small business owners along the corridor. They're essentially citizen stakeholder leaders who have applied for a position on the Central Corridor Community Advisory Committee and have been selected to represent their group as we discuss issues along the corridor. Everything from where we're going to put a traction power station to an intersection that happens to flood every time it rains. They are advising the project office on some of the issues that might come up when construction begins.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Is there a motion regarding Ms. Beach's appointment?
Madam Chair, I move that the committee recommend the appointment of Kristen Beach to be confirmed.
Senator Sieben moves that the committee recommend the appointment of Kirsten S. Beach, District 14 member of Metropolitan Council, be confirmed. Further discussion? Anyone in the public wish to comment? Seeing none, all in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much, Ms. Beach. How about Daniel Walter? Mr. Walter resides in Eagan, Minnesota. He is the District 15 member of the Metropolitan Council, and his communities include Burnsville, Invergrove Heights, South St. Paul, and most of Eagan. Mr. Walter, if you want to talk to us about your work also on transportation and the environment.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. It's a pleasure to be with you today. As explained, my district does touch, I believe, three senators from this committee, Senator Sieben with South St. Paul, Senator Gerlach with a little bit of Burnsville, and Senator Carlson with Eagan. So I appreciate the relationship, working relationship I have with each of them. I do, I believe the information you have on me is slightly out of date with regards to my committee assignments. I'm vice chair of the Environment Committee and also serve on the Community Development Committee, no longer on the Transportation Committee, but I have served there in the past. The district that I represent, specifically to the issue you asked about earlier, transit is very important, and it's also a very exciting time in this district with the Urban Partnership Agreement and the transitways down 35W and the Cedar Avenue busway, in addition to the Robert Street corridor, is a big big issue for a number of people in this district. I know Senator Metzen has worked very hard to keep this project moving ahead. So I will just echo, I know that we're constrained for some time here, I want to echo some of the comments from my my colleagues. The environment area, as vice chair of that committee, I think that is one of the predecessor, somebody who spoke here earlier called it one of the jewels of the system, the wastewater treatment. It's not a real exciting issue, but it is an enormous success story for this region, how we handle it, how we approach it, how we finance it. It is also, as we move ahead, one of the areas that will be challenged as the, you know, with the housing boom has burst slightly. We need to look at other ways to finance the system and to keep it afloat. With that, I will stand for your questions.
Are there questions or comments for Mr. Walter?
Madam Chair.
Senator Rolstein.
I'll yield to Senator Vickerman.
Senator Vickerman.
Madam Chair, I was just going to make this a friendly operation. I want to nominate this gentleman for the console. Can't always just metro. There are rural people that also use the Met Console buses,
it's
trains.
Very generous of you. It would
be my privilege to.
Senator, Senator Vickerman moves the committee recommend the appointment of Daniel Walter as District 15 member of the Metropolitan Council be confirmed. Are there questions, however, for Mr. Walter? Is there anyone in the public who wishes to comment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much, Mr. Walter. Wendy Wolf, District 16. Thank you very much for your patience, Ms. Wolf. Ms. Wolf resides in Lakeville, Minnesota, Dakota County. And her communities involve Apple Valley, Coates, another part of Eagan, Farmington, Hampton, Hastings, Lakeville, Dakota County Townships, and so forth. Ms. Wolf, if you would tell us something about yourself and your work on the council.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Wendy Wolf. I have served on the Metropolitan Council since April of last year. I'm on the Environmental Services Committee, Community Development. I'm the chair of the Inflow and Infiltration Demand Charge Task Force. I'm the liaison to the Metropolitan Parks and Open Space Commission. And prior to being named to the council, I was a Lakeville City Council member for 6 years and a Planning Commission member for 7 years. So I have some background in planning and development issues. I served on the Transportation Advisory Board and the League of Minnesota Cities Board. I was part of the High Performance Partnerships in Dakota County, and I was the lead person on the Lakeville City Council in negotiating Lakeville's entrance into the transit taxing district and the construction of the park and ride ramp.
And
on
you've just
Interstate
been a member.
35.
You replaced Brian McDaniel, so you've just been a member for a year. Is that correct?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Were there questions for Ms. Wolf, Senator Betzel?
Well, Madam Chair, I actually knew Councilmember Wolf because she was in the Army Reserve Unit that I was in and was the commander of many years ago. So, and she was an excellent soldier at that time as well, too. So she's well qualified. So I would like to move the committee recommend the appointment of Wendy Wolf to District 16 member of the Metropolitan Council.
Senator Betzel moves that the committee recommend the appointment of Wendy Wolf, Metropolitan Council member, District 16, be confirmed. Comment or question? Senator Roebling.
I'm just wondering if Ms. Wolf will tell me if the Metropolitan Legislative Commission
Is that still a very active commission? Do they meet regularly?
Madam Chair, Senator Roebling, yes, they meet monthly. It's a lobbying group representing a number of suburban communities, and I was on the board of that group when I was on the Lakeville City Council, but they meet monthly.
Madam Chair,
I think you're talking about the Legislative Commission.
Right.
I was confused by the name. I think they have a requirement to meet quarterly, and they have some obligations, but because they can't take any legislative action, legislative action has to be taken by this committee and Representative Nelson's committee, so I don't think they have much impact. I have been one that thinks they should be abolished, but we have not done that.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair, for clarifying that, because the titles are so similar, I was confused.
Any further discussion? We have anybody from the public wish to comment? We have Senator Betzel's motion. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Have any of the people who have not shown up?
Madam Chair, they have not.
Okay, we're going to take the Metropolitan Council members first. I need a motion of non-recommendation for Mr. Peterson. Let's do this quickly so that we can meet with Ms. Duncanson. Senator Roebling?
Madam Chair, this is my council member, and I'm just wondering, does no recommendation hamper the possible confirmation? Because I know,
Senator Roebling, it does not, and I will make that crystal clear on the Senate floor that the other alternative is not to take it up at all, and I don't want to do that. I want to move these appointments to the Senate floor, and that seemed to me to be the most neutral way of doing it. Otherwise, we would not take them up if they're not present.
Okay, thank you, because Mr. Peterson is in a wheelchair, and
I just
the weather conditions
to be,
are terrible.
Yes, we knew that. So we'll do these very quickly. Senator Roebling then moves, or maybe you would prefer not to if it's going to be non-recommendation.
Yeah. Madam Chair, I'll move that the appointment.
Senator Betzel moves that the appointment of Craig Peterson to District 4 of the Metropolitan Council be reported to the Senate without recommendation. All those in favor of that motion,
aye.
Please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Then we have Polly Peterson Bowles, District 5. Senator Betzel.
I'll move that, Madam Chair.
Senator Betzel moves that the appointment of Polly Peterson Bowles be reported to the Senate with District 5 Metropolitan Council without recommendation. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. And then we have Mr. Richard Aguilar, District 13. Senator Betzel moves that the appointment of Richard Aguilar, District 13 of the Metropolitan Council, be reported to the Senate without recommendation. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Ms. Duncanson. Ms. Duncanson, thank you so much for making the effort to be here and fighting the traffic. Duncanson has been appointed by the governor as a member of the Minnesota Racing Commission, effective September 10th, 2007. Her appointment runs, is not concurrent with the governor's, and runs through June 30th of 2013. You have her resume in front of you. If you would just kindly tell us a little bit about yourself and the work you've been doing presently on the Racing Commission.
I'm Jacqueline Duncanson. My husband and I farm in South Central Minnesota, south of Mankato. We have farmed there for over 30 years now. And I would just like to say, if you saw the roads that I drove through to get up here, you might question whether I am wise enough to actually serve in any capacity.
Maybe you should have ridden one of your horses, huh? You might have made it faster.
In spots, it would have been, I am quite sure. But anyway, I am glad to be here, and I do participate in the horse industry. At times in the past, we have had a very small business associated with our horses. The last few years, it has been more in the hobby range, but we do right now have 12 horses. We do barrel racing, if any of you are have any idea what that is. But I do appreciate and enjoy serving on the Racing Commission because our racing industry here in the state really does support the horse industry, and keeping our racetracks vital supports actually a very large industry in our racing horses, both thoroughbreds, quarter horse, and our trotters. And I am pleased to be here before you and would welcome any questions that you might have.
Questions or comments from Ms. Duncanson? Otherwise, I'm going to call on Senator Lori. Senator Betzel?
Madam Chair, and refresh my memory, I don't recall. Ms. Duncanson, do you recall if the Racing Commission has got involved in advocating or taking positions on some of the issues that involve the racetracks over the years, whether it is the off-track betting issue? We've got Racino now, the card clubs or so forth, or do you just kind of just stay out of that and just say let the legislature figure out what to do there?
You know, I thought we were close enough to the end of the time here that I might get by without a question like that, but actually, actually, I believe that as, racing commissioners, we can take individual positions on that. In the past, I'm truly not aware of stance that have been taken, but quite personally, I'm open to anything that I see that is going to benefit our racetracks and the horse industries within reason. And I'm open, I'm sure, this year with all our fiscal issues, we're going to see some creative thinking. And if, for instance, you're asking me about the Racino that has been talked about, I am not really ready to sit here and say I strongly oppose or am against it, but I am certainly interested in learning more about it and finding out what the possibilities might be of that benefiting both our state budget and hopefully our horse industry.
But it's but the Racing Commission itself.
The Racing Commission itself, I do not think.
Or
the Racing Commission itself,
any given legislative proposal.
The Racing Commission itself is a branch of, we serve the governor and we're a branch of state government. We do not obviously take, I don't believe, any positions as a commission. I mean, I'll look to Dick to,
sure.
but as individuals, obviously I believe we can have an individual opinion.
Madam Chair.
Senator Betzel, another question?
Sure. Well, just more of an observation because, I hope that the Racing Commission, keeps in mind over, the history, certainly of Canterbury Downs. Now we've got Running Aces, but, originally the original owners wanted us to believe that, Minnesotans wanted horse racing, and it's done okay, but then they came in and said, well, but we really got to have this off-track betting because we're running into some fiscal issues here. And then when that was approved, then we got to have a card club, and then we got to have an expanded card club, and now it's leading into other issues. At some point, are we running an operation down there with, oh, by the way, we're also going to run racing? I'm worried that that's the direction it's going in, and so I hope the Racing Commission, also looks at those issues and pays close attention to it, saying, okay, at what point are you doing what you're intended to be doing down there? That's, having horse racing. So.
Right. And I will just say, for me personally, I cannot speak for my fellow commissioners, but for me personally, what I am most interested in by serving on the Racing Commission is the horse industry. And that is going to be the main thing that I promote, support, and try to see benefited in the state of Minnesota.
Senator Rolstein.
Madam Chair, a constituent of mine who's a horse person was advocating for a program that Kentucky uses where there's a like a sales tax or a tax on stud fees, and then that tax is put into a pool and it's divided up amongst the horse industry, I think maybe as a prize in races and stuff. But have you heard of a program like that? Or
actually, sorry, I'm sorry. Actually, many breed associations have programs where there would not be a sales tax or anything, but they do have funds that stallion owners put money in those funds, and then they're called breeders' funds, and then or associations like the American Quarter Horse Association has one, Minnesota Quarter Horse Association, and then if your horse goes on, competes, and does well, then you will receive payment associated with that. So I think that a breeders' fund is what you're talking about, but I have never heard of it done where it would be ran by regulated or the funds would be collected by the state. I've never heard of such a thing. And quite frankly, I think that that would be onerous on horse owners, especially people that I know, many of whom just breed a couple mares, to have to collect a tax of that kind. I mean, you've struck me with something. I mean, I haven't really thought about it, but I guess I have to learn more about it. At this point, I can't say that I would support putting a sales tax on stud fees. In fact, it doesn't sit well with me just thinking about it here, but I haven't really had time to digest the thought.
Senator Lurie, you have a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move that the committee recommend the appointment of Jacqueline Duncanson to the Racing Commission be confirmed.
Is there a further comment or discussion of Senator Lurie's motion?
Well, Madam Chair, it's kind of nice to have somebody coming from farm country. So I agree with what you want to do. You live out there for 29 years. You know how tough it is. I couldn't even get home last week.
Yeah, we'll see if I get home tonight.
Any further discussion? And we really do appreciate your effort. It was very kind of you to do that today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
We have Senator Lurie's motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There being no further business, we will not be meeting on Wednesday. Our next meeting is on Friday, and you will be getting agendas. We're taking up some bills. And then we'll meet again on next Monday. There being no further business before the committee, the time on Friday, Ms. Schaefer-Pellinen, is 10 a.m. There being no further business in front of the committee, we stand adjourned.